Paul's missionary journey. This is his third one. Some Bibles, you might, maybe in your Bible, it might say that he has four or five journeys. We're only going to cover three, and today is the last one, which is his third journey. And Joe, can you put slide one, please? And this is a question that the Lord wants me to focus on today, because this is what happens with Paul. He meets certain people, and this is a question. It says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? It's a great question that Paul asks these certain people that he met in Ephesus. But let me just encourage you. You just can't ask anybody that question. You really can't. You know, it'd be kind of funny that if you just walk to a complete person, you know, at work, a complete stranger. Because Paul, these people were complete strangers, but he got to know them. But if you walked up to somebody, fair skin complexion, and you were to say, ¿hablas español? They'd probably look at you all weird, be like, what? Now, some might say, sí, sí puedo hablar español, because they probably have learned it and maybe have family that speaks Spanish. But there's a reason why, you know, you ask certain people this question. Have you received the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, since you believed? You just don't walk up to somebody. Now, if you really want to freak somebody out, go to Walmart, just find somebody, just, you know, random, and just say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They'll probably be like, drop everything and walk away. So those of you that like to, huh? Unless they're by the Bibles, yeah. Unless they're by that bookshelf. Hey, listen, it'd be great if you recorded it and just, you know, put it on Facebook, you know, just it'd be kind of fun, you know. But you have to make sure who you're asking this question. And we're going to look at that. So let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now listen to that. Listen to the response. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3. And he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon these believers, these disciples here that he met in Ephesus, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. Father, I thank you. There's more than 12 people here today. I pray, Father God, that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to them and reveal truth to them. I pray, Father God, you reveal truth to all of us, O Lord. Lord, that we would open our ears, open our hearts, and receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So you don't just ask anyone this kind of question. So you know what? Paul didn't just ask. He just didn't see these people and just ask them this question. It says, and finding certain disciples. First, you got to make sure that they're believers, because only believers can receive the Holy Spirit. Number two, you take some time. And this is what I believe Paul did. He took some time. He had dialogue. I mean, when you read in scripture, wherever Paul went, he had dialogue with people. He talked with people. He talked about Jesus. He talked about the gospel. He talked about salvation. He talked about Christian living. He had dialogue with people. So it wasn't just that Paul walked into the town of Ephesus, on the upper coast of Ephesus, saw some people, and just, you know, they made eye contact, and he said, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? No, he had dialogue with them, talked with them. Shared Jesus. Hey, I know him. Oh, you do? Yeah, I know about Jesus. Are you going to heaven? Yeah. Just this weekend, we went to Griffin, and we just got to the hotel, and there's these ladies coming down the hallway, And this one lady, she's in a wheelchair. She's just smiling ear to ear. And I said, "How you doing, ma'am?" She says, "Oh, just great." And then not even skipping a beat, she says, "Do you know Jesus?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. Do you know Jesus?" She said, "Yes." And so, you know, we kind of chuckled and laughed or whatever. And I didn't realize that they were from the church of a pastor that I know in Blackshear. And so it was just awesome. But I mean, just without skipping a beat, she just said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And I just thought, you know what? That would have been cool, kind of funny, if she would have just asked me without even knowing, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" You know, it would have been funny if I responded back to her in Spanish. "No te entiendo, señora. ¿Qué hablas? No te entiendo." You know, for her to, you know, come back. Because why? I mean, she, fair complexion. I mean, of course, she was from the South because she said, you know, that, you know, "Have, you know, do you know Jesus?" I mean, she had it in the Southern accent. So I knew she was from the South. She wasn't from the North. And so, but Paul had this dialogue with these people so much that he knew what to ask them. Listen, he didn't ask them, "What church are you from?" He didn't ask them who, you know, first question wasn't, "Who led you to the Lord?" He didn't ask him, "Are you Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Pentecostal?" He didn't ask him any of those questions. He just knew that they were believers. And then he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" So he concluded that after noticing who they are, what they believed, I don't know them personally. Can't ask them for money, but I've never met them before, but I can ask them this. It's okay to ask this. "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" So he finds these 12 guys, has this discussion. But let me ask you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Since you came to find Christ as your Savior, where your life was found in Him, your sins have been forgiven, you're a new person in Christ, you have been made righteous because of Christ, and because of Christ, you are in right standing with God. So, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, the Holy Spirit baptism, His indwelling, His overflowing, it didn't stop like some people believe at one time a while back. Some people believe and teach that it stopped. That it ceased to exist. The baptism of the Holy Spirit didn't cease to exist because there's no scripture to back up that at a certain time period, it has stopped. Of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has been used several times by certain people to state that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has stopped. But that says that when we reach perfection, we ain't reaching perfection till we get into heaven. And when you get into heaven, you don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues because you already know the heavenly language because you're already in heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So there's no scripture to back this up, but I just want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit, He's still alive and working today. The Holy Spirit, He still indwells in us. And listen, when we become believers in Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. He's the one that smacks us upside the head when we're doing something wrong. We look somewhere, we go somewhere, we do something, we say something wrong. Our attitudes are wrong. We get that sharp, that sharp spear in our heart. You did something wrong. You need to apologize. I ain't apologizing. You're not talking to yourself. You're talking to the Holy Spirit there. So the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Paul is talking about, it is something that is, it's not something that you need to get to heaven, but it's something that you need. It's someone that you need so you can help others get to heaven because that's where you're going. Hopefully. I hope you're going there. I'm going there. And so He is still available today. And so these 12 men, they had not received yet, nor heard yet is a good thing, nor heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. They were baptized by John. They were disciples of John. Maybe they were disciples of a disciple of John, but they had not known the full thing of what Jesus has done and what Jesus is calling us to do. You see, in chapter 18, the chapter before, previous chapter, there's a guy by the name of Apollos, and it says that he was knowledgeable of the scriptures. He knew, and he was a believer in God. He feared God. He knew scriptures, but it says that he did not, he only knew the baptism of John. So that was the only baptism he knew of. But when he found Aquila and Priscilla, who expounded, meaning explaining more clearly the scriptures to Apollos, he grew in the word. He understood more, so much more that the believers sent him out to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be able to do that. So Apollos needed more in-depth teaching. Maybe today you need some more in-depth teaching. And here Paul finds 12 people who need a little bit more of an understanding that there's more to the Christian life than John's baptism. Nowhere in Scripture will you find that John's baptism is obsolete. You don't need it anymore. Jesus got baptized. As a matter of fact, John said in Matthew chapter 3, John said let's just go there real quick. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me, he's talking about Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. You see, there's two baptisms that we find here in Scripture. Water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. So this is the reason why Paul asked them. Once he found out they were believers, they were disciples. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Kind of tells us it's important, isn't it? Again, it's not vital because there are people that might believe that, well, I'm not going to heaven if I don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that. But it is a promise from the Father. And I'm not sure how many of you would want to miss out on a promise from the Father. So if you haven't received yet, begin to ask, begin to seek, begin to wait in the presence of the Lord. Begin to say, Father, fill me. Fill me with all that you have. I remember a preacher said, look, there are too many people that are too focused on the speaking of the tongues that they forget about the whole purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're just, you know, fine tuning and just looking at it. There's more to it involved. So if you come to God saying, God, fill me with all that you have for me today. God, fill me with all that you have for me in this time, in my season, and right here in this year, fill me with all that you have. And you pursue and you seek and you wait on God and you speak out in faith. Because sometimes, I'm not sure how many of you have ever had this happen, but you think, oh man, that ain't God. I'm just thinking of some mumbo jumbo stuff or whatever. Listen, it's a step of faith. It's a step of faith that you speak out in faith. I mean, when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, did you get something in the mail that said, hey, you're born again Christian? I didn't. I didn't get a newsletter or a magazine from Pentecostal Evangel. I didn't get any of that. But I knew in my spirit, I knew because the Holy Spirit started to dwell in me. I knew because it's what God's word says. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised me from the dead, I shall be saved. I didn't get something from the church, a big stamp or saying on my forehead or a gift that says you're a Christian now. So now because of that gift, because of what God's word says and what I did, I'm a Christian now because my faith is in God. My faith is in Jesus Christ. But this is a promise that Paul shares with them. Now, Jesus didn't go baptizing people. You won't find that Jesus baptized people. And these 12 were not re-baptized, as some people indicate. The indication is that John baptized people in water, but Jesus baptizes believers with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10. You don't have to go there, but real quick. There's a gentleman by the name of Cornelius. He feared God. He prayed to God. He fasted and prayed to God. God spoke to him in a vision, said, send some people to go find Peter. Tell Peter to come. And Peter has something to share with you. So Peter actually came to his house because he sent messengers to go find Peter. Peter came to his house, shared the gospel, expounding what Jesus had done, expounding on to them the gospel. It says that when they were in the room, as they believed, while yet Peter spoke, they believed what Peter was saying, and they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues. Then you know what Peter did? He said, hey, can anybody forbid any water? Hey, let's get some buckets of water over here, because these believers, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit just as we did. Let's bring some water. Let's baptize them in water. It's kind of weird because, you know, God's not in a box. But these people hadn't been baptized in water yet because they hadn't known. They believed in God, but they hadn't known. And so when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, Peter said, let's bring some water. Let's baptize them. So they didn't get rebaptized, you know, because John's baptism was obsolete. They hadn't been baptized yet. So again, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Slide 2, please. I found this. I thought it was pretty, it was good. But I wonder how many people are waiting for this. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. You'll find that it is a quote. Peter says this, but it's a quote from the book of Joel. It is a promise from God that God will pour his spirit upon all people, pour his spirit upon all people. And some people, I guess they just, it's just sounds good. It's a nice picture, but that's the extent of it. It could be so much more. You see, when Paul asked these men, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he began to explain. You know what Paul did? He laid his hands on them. Why did Paul lay his hands on them? Because there was something that needed to be placed upon these people. These men needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he placed his hands. You know what? I wonder if Paul was brought back to remembrance because his name was Saul. He was blind. He was inside an inn on the street called Straight. And some guy came up to him named Ananias, placed his hands on Paul's shoulders. And all of a sudden, the scales fell from his eyes and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I wonder if that ever reoccurred in Paul's mind when he was talking to those 12 and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He explained the baptism of John. Yeah, that's what John did. And then he laid his hands on them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Why do you think he allowed himself to be involved in that? Because this is a powerful thing. It's a promise from the Father. And being baptized on the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Jesus himself said in Acts 1:8, it is so that we can have God's power to be his witnesses. In our city, in our town, in our suburbs, In our subdivisions, in our state, in our region, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And again, I may never step foot on some of the soil that our missionaries step on and live on, but I am playing a part in planting the seed in what they're doing. This is an amazing thing when we think about it. That this situation that Paul has with 12 people is a situation that still happens today and can happen today. But let me tell you, if you don't respond to God's question that God wants me to share with you today, which was a question that Paul asked, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? If your response to God is something like this, well, that's too spiritual for me. Way out of my comfort zone. I don't go that far in Christianity. How do you expect God to use you in any capacity? Because the way that God moves and uses us, it's not of the physical realm, it's the spiritual realm. How in the world do you expect God to give you a revelation of his word, which is spiritual, and yet when he wants to give you his promise to be used in the spiritual, that's way out of my comfort zone. I don't go that far. I just come to church. But yet, you know what? When difficult things happen, like at work with the family, difficult things happen at home, then we want to call upon God. Then we want God to rescue us. Then we want God to come and move in, swipe in, and maybe possibly use us in a miracle. But you know what? Go to the next slide, Joe. I found this. It says, without God's spirit, there is nothing we can do. Nothing we can do that will count for God's kingdom. Without God's spirit, the church simply can't be the church. So if our response is, that is way out of my comfort zone. I don't go that far with Christianity. I'm comfortable right here. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm good to go. You can't say that you want to be the church of the living God. Because the church of the living God is wholly submitted, surrendered to the will of God and not your will. So that when God says move, you move. When God says speak, you speak. When God leads you to lay your hands on some people that have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're willing to. Listen, I want God to use me to great capacities if it's his will and his desire. I mean, I'd like to walk on water, wouldn't some of you? That'd be pretty cool. But not for just so that I can say, have a t-shirt that says I walked on water. But if God has me to do that because I go on a mission trip or God calls my family on the mission field and we go and God uses us for miraculous things just so that the lost can come to know Jesus Christ, I'm game. I'm for it. But let me warn you, don't have the response. That's out of my comfort zone. I don't go that far with Christianity. Because how in the world are you going to be the church? The church of Jesus Christ is led by the Spirit of God. Not your desire, not your time, not your will. It's by God's will. This is why it was important that Paul asked these guys this question. If they knew the baptism of John and they were disciples and they were believers, they needed something. What do you think they needed? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. They needed the Spirit of God. God will use anyone who will surrender, who will accept his son Jesus and submit to his will. Man. And you know what? God doesn't just use the big dogs. If you consider Shannon and I big dogs, you are highly mistaken. Highly mistaken. We're not big dogs. You know who else isn't a big dog? In Acts chapter 8, Philip. He's an evangelist. He's not, and you might say, well, yeah, but he still did this and he still did that. In Acts chapter 8, God led him, he was involved in a revival. God led him and told him where to go, and he went. He just happened to be at the place that God wanted him to be at God's time, and somebody was just in a chariot, just strolling along, going back home, reading scripture. And God says, hey, run up to him and tell him go find out what he's reading. And he knew what he was reading. Hey, what's going on? What you reading? Good book there, huh? Yeah. Well, what you reading? Oh, I don't understand this, man. I'm trying to find somebody to help me understand this passage. It's weird. He's talking about this and that. He's like, oh, Jesus. I know about Jesus. He was just placing himself, again, not his will, God's will. Not his time, God's time. Right place at the right time because God sent him there. Then you might say, well, you know what? But yeah, Philip was used for that. He was involved with his daughters were prophets. They prophesied. They weren't big dogs, but they, probably seeing their father as a man who loved God, followed God, served God, humbled and surrendered to God, they were daughters that said, if Dad does it, we'll do it too. He must have trained his daughters to follow the Lord because they were prophetesses and they prophesied. Acts chapter 21, you'll find that. You see, so God will use anyone if they will surrender. Even in the inconvenient times, I want to be used by him. God changed me, not by my terms, but by his terms. If that's you today, just real quick, God, use me. God, help me to get myself out of the way so that you can use me the way you want to use me. And even if it's inconvenient, even if it's out of my comfort zone, even if other people say, oh, that's too spiritual, that's too far, God, use me. Let that be your prayer. Because if you're afraid or if you're standoffish, how can you be the church? The church of Jesus Christ is led by the Spirit of God, not by flesh, not by our own desire. So, let's see. I lost my place here. Okay, so this baptism isn't vital. I mentioned that. It's not vital for entering heaven, but it's important in helping other people get there because that's where you're going. So let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Man, we can't do spiritual things. Now, when I say spiritual, I'm not putting it in a negative way. I'm putting it in a positive way. We can't do the spiritual things of God if we're not living by the Spirit, if we're not surrendering to the Spirit. And listen, guys, I know it is downright freaky, scary to step out, to speak. Look, you need to know Thomas to know that he's not the kind of person to stand up in front and be looked at and get attention. You need to know him because that's just not, but it was just burning up in him. I'm not sure if you saw it. It's not an act. We didn't play it out yesterday as a skit. That wasn't a skit. I understand it is scary, but if you put yourself to the side and say, God, not my will, but your will. God, not what I want to do. It's what you want to do. God, I can care less what other people think of me or say about me. If I cry in front of people, God, your Spirit's upon me. Man, let me just cry. If there's a reason to cry, I don't want to cry just to be looked at. Tonight, Shannon's going to talk. The other part of Paul's third missionary journey, and the fact that we play a part in what God wants to do in the lives and the ministries of our missionaries, in the lives of the people of Camden County. Even tonight, we're going to have this missionary that we met. They're just going to come and share 10 minutes. This is one of the things that missionaries in the Assemblies of God are asked to do. Find churches that will give you 10 minutes to share your heart of God's calling, of what God's going to do. And it's the Larson family. So they're going to be here tonight. Again, I encourage you, not just because the Larsons, but because or because Shannon's speaking tonight, but because we're going to get together to hear God's word and be challenged and be encouraged by God's word. So I encourage you to come back tonight at 6 p.m. Holy Spirit is still active. We see the leadership and the believers that are sent out for the work of the ministry involve God and His Son and the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is still available today. So Acts 19, verse 11. God brought many brought special miracles. My Bible says unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. I'm thinking, Lord, to me, miracles are miracles. So when you say unusual miracles, I mean, this is like, you know, but this is something they hadn't seen before. I would love to see this. You know, people bringing hankies and aprons, you know, to you, to me, and saying, hey, touch this so I can go take it back to Joe or Mark because they're in bed and so they can be healed. And they got healed. Amazing miracles. To me, I'm thinking, God, any miracles, amazing. But here, the word tells me unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them. Listen, and the evil spirits went out of them. That just doesn't happen because he went to the temple that day. That just doesn't happen because he had dinner with some disciples. That happens because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the calling of God on one person's life who is surrendered to God, submitted to God, that even if it is inconvenient, even if it is out of my comfort zone, even if some people say it, oh, that's too far to go in Christianity, God, my life is yours, not my own. When being used by God, the natural things of this world can't explain it. They can't explain it. That's why some of you that have actually experienced this, doctors, you've gone back to doctors after the Lord has healed you. They can't explain. I don't know, but it was there before, but it's not there now. I don't know where you went and got it out, but it's gone. Miracles that the natural things of this world can't explain. Let's just go to verse 13. Certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took it upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits. And they called upon them, that it says that they used the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus. They're talking to evil spirits now. Okay, these wannabes, I'm going to call them. They said, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven of them. They were seven sons. They were brothers. And the evil spirit, verse 15, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? Who are you? One big problem they had, God didn't send them and they weren't connected to God. They were just wannabes. Do you know that there are people that would like to be wannabes, but no, I don't want to be connected to God. Listen, again, we can't do the spiritual things that God wants us to. Everyone say wants us to do. God wants us to be involved in the things of God. He wants us to be led by His Spirit. But if you don't want to, guess what? You miss out. And sadly, if you let it go on too long, you might just miss out on all of eternity in heaven to begin with. You see, people want to be a part of something spiritual, yet, wait a minute, I don't want to go about it that way. It's too inconvenient, it's too weird, it's too freaky, it's too, you know, I don't know, it's just too religious, too spiritual for me. So when something, like I said before, like something goes wrong at home or at work, you call God then. But when it's time to fast and pray, I'm too hungry, I can't fast. You look at my body, I can't fast, it's too hard for me. When it's time to make a sacrifice, I work too hard for that. No, that's mine. When it's time to draw closer to God in prayer, I got so many things to do on my list. There's just too many things. I can't spend time. 5 minutes? Okay, good. After that, no. You're on your own. What were those responses earlier? That's too spiritual, way out of my comfort zone. I don't go that far in Christianity. See, the Lord showed me that there are people today in this world who don't know His Holy Spirit. But you know what? God, if you want to use me, you can use me. If you don't know God's Holy Spirit, how are you expecting Him to use you in the spiritual things of God? If you're not willing to go deeper in your walk with Christ, it's out of character for me. I'm kind of like, you know, in the back row kind of guy. You know, I don't really do anything. So I'll just wait for you guys back here. You guys go pray and you guys go ahead and fast. Just call me when you guys need me. Really? There are people in church like that. They'll come and get involved in the things after all the spiritual things have gotten done. Then they'll be, yeah, you can use me. The church needs to be spirit-led, not flesh-led, not your attitude-led. Check your attitude. Check your heart. Are you spirit-led? If you're believers in Jesus Christ, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And if the answer is no, guess what? Today, just as Paul laid his hands upon those 12 disciples, those 12 believers, I'm believing that today you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is not expired. He's not out to lunch. And you still need to be led by the Spirit of God to fulfill the things of God. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to fulfill the things of God. Is by being led by His God. Whose character are you trying to hold on to? You know, it's just not a character for me. Who are you trying to live for? Your character? Certain people would love for God to do great things for them, to use them, but only on their schedule. So a quick recap. Beginning of chapter 19, we find that 12 guys knew some of Christianity, but they needed to know more. They believed as Paul was speaking to them. Paul placed his hands on them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit didn't jump on these 12 and possess them. They believed what Paul was saying, and they received the Holy Spirit. He doesn't jump on you. He doesn't possess you. You're willing to receive, you'll receive. They were connected to the Father and wanted more of Him, just like Apollos, being expounded with it, having the Scriptures being expounded to him. Later in chapter 19, we find men who wanted to be spiritual, wannabes. They had no connection. So you know what happened? Later in the story, you can read it later on, they were stripped naked. They ran out of the house naked, without any clothes, beaten up. Because the man or the men who were filled with evil spirits jumped on them and beat them up. Being connected to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost allows you to accomplish God's work. The lost will come to repentance. Changed lives will be made new. Lastly, Acts chapter 19, verse 17. It says, all of the things that were happening here became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. Fear came on all those that were there. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. That's our goal. Not you, not me to be magnified. Not even hidden treasures to be magnified. Can you hear me? But God to be magnified, that He's moving through us and is shaping us and molding us, that we're growing in faith and in our walk with Him. Verse 18, and many who had believed, everyone say many. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them. This is revival. Burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. A lot of money. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and that it should be our goal. That should be our goal. See what happens when people surrender to God and be led by the Spirit? Miracles can happen, lives being changed, those who are lost be found, and those who have yet to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit will receive God's promise for those who believe. But you know what also will happen? Persecution, because you know what? Persecution followed all of this. Persecution followed Paul's ministry. You surrender to Jesus Christ and you serve God. Persecution will follow you. Opposition will come against you. But the Spirit of God that's in you, indwelling and flowing out of you, will lead you through whatever opposition. And listen, today, there's riots. There's all these protests or whatever. Can I just encourage you with something? People will not like what you stand for, who you stand for. If the Word of God is what you live for. It's what you live by. You will find that people will not like what you live for, not like what you stand for, not like who you live for. Opposition is not confronted with more opposition. I'm going to repeat that again. opposition is not confronted with more opposition. You know what we ought to confront it with? Love. Not my love, because my love, you know, Shannon, my love will only go a little bit. God's love being produced and perfected in me will go farther. I'm not lying. Ask Shannon. You know, I have my days. And they don't all end in day. But I have my days. Those are the days that I just need to turn around, go back to my prayer closet, turn around, go back and spend time with the Lord so he can check my attitude. Check whatever's going on in this head of mine. But listen, because this happens in social media and I don't like it. I don't like, and you know what? I've gotten to the point that I hate saying, kind of like what Brian was saying earlier, I don't like saying social media. But you know what? We're in a time that's how people communicate. That's how people talk and share. And I don't like it. Yeah, Brian, I agree. I don't, you know, just too much junk out there. Too many people just sharing stuff. It's like, whoa, you know, keep it off the internet. But you know what? Opposition cannot be confronted with more opposition. It needs to be confronted with God. And if there are times that it's hard for you to confront it with God's love, then that's the time you need to go back and spend some more time with God so you can give more of his love. Yeah. Love should lead us. Love should guide us. Love should be spoken about us. People should be like, you know, I can't stand them. They're always saying, forgive me. They're always wanting for me for, you know, they're always apologizing. They're always too nice because we're being led by love. Again, the world will not understand why we live the way we live. But it's because we're living spiritually. We're being led by the Spirit of God, not the things of this world. People don't get us. The world doesn't understand us. So I'm going to do this again, which I don't like doing this. I said it earlier, but I leave you with this. Slide four, Joe, and I leave you with this. John 16, verse 32 through 33, and this is part of it. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can someone just shout out, who said this? Jesus. Should I say a little bit louder? Jesus said this. Let me encourage you. Jesus said this, especially the last part. I like that. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And when Jesus overcame the world, he didn't just like, you know, tooth and nail, like just barely overcame the world. I mean, he busted that door down. He overcame the world. So be of good cheer.